Welcome back to our Faction Championship interviews. We're going through and we're having a chat to Faction members ahead of one of our two big marquee events for the year, which is the fourth Faction Championships coming up at the end of January. So it is a split event. We're going to play Highlander and we're going to play Crimson Vow Draft with a top 8 draft as well. And so in the lead up to that, we're getting to know some of the players. So today I am here with Brent. Welcome to the podcast, Brent.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Always good to have new people on. I don't think you've been on yet, but you have been around the faction for a bit now, so good to have a chat to you.
Yeah, it's good.
So, as I said, been around for a bit. There's a fairly large range, actually, of how early people have joined the faction. But how long have you been around?
I was going to say, the same amount of time that you've been here.
Yes, you did join at the same time as me.
Yeah, because it was the three of us. I think it was, maybe it was 3 years ago. I think it was 3 years ago.
Yep. You sound questioning like you're hoping I will confirm, but I don't know.
No, but that's kind of me because I've been thinking about it. And it's like, because there's 2 years of COVID and then it was about a year before that, I think.
Yeah, I think so. That sounds about right. I think about 3 years. So not the newest. I think there's been, we were just discussing before, there's been one group, I think, more. Like another wave.
Right.
Who have joined since us, but still, I don't know, it feels weird to say towards the newer end, but that's sort of because COVID warps time.
It does.
It's been 3 years, but it doesn't feel like it. So you've played, I think you've played the same number of like sort of faction major events as me, the Invitationals and the Champs. You've played two Invitationals and a Champs, I think? Or two Champs?
I think it's just the one. I think that's right. I think it's two Invitationals and one Champs.
Yeah. And how have you won at those? How have your experience and like finishes and that sort of thing?
I remember the main one was just before we joined. It was you, Dogan, and myself.
Yeah, that was the Invitational around.
Yeah, and then we just smashed everybody in the draft. Like, we were the only undefeated people in the draft, and then I just crumbled out of that. But I think you and Dogan made the top 8 of that one. But that was probably the best.
That was a good feeling. That was a good feeling. As you said, that was before we joined the faction. That was one of the Invitationals when we were invited. And all three of us threw the draft on the first day. And we're like, oh.
And that was like the draft. Like, oh, what's this? And it was like one of the Modern Masters sets, I think.
Yeah, it was. It was Modern Horizons.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, what's this set? I don't know. Just draft Snow or something like that. And it just did that. But I think it was that one because I think in Champs I didn't do... Wait, what was the one at Phillip Island?
That was Champs.
Oh, I made...
No, that was an Invitational. I lie.
Okay, I made top 8 of that one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So yeah, I did... And then got smashed by Nathan with his unfair deck.
Yeah, Nathan's completely absurd deck. Yeah, that's fair. I remember that first Invitational as well was also the three of us had not played any Highlander at all leading up to it.
Yeah. It was the Dogan and myself saying like, okay, I need to learn my deck. And then that night before going just playing, like, what does this card do? And I chose poorly with my deck, I think.
I want to say you played a bunch of creature combos.
It was a combo deck that I didn't know how the combo worked. So it wasn't so good. And then in the second one, it was where I played an affinity deck, which made much more sense to me. And I did quite well with that deck.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair. And there is, well, it's not affinity, but there is a good artifact aggro deck now in Highlander, actually, at the moment.
But doesn't have Frogmites or Enforcers in it?
It does not. I don't think it does.
That's a shame. It's only two cards.
I mean, you know, it's a 60-card deck. You can put them in. You can play your Frogmite and Enforcer, yeah. You've also played, like, a lot of Affinity, right? That's kind of your modern deck going back.
It was for some number of years, and then I ended up moving away from that because it was getting boring.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was around the time I let you borrow it at one of the Nationals. That was whenever I was starting to get bored of it because it was just the same thing every game.
I was going to bring that up. I remember borrowing it from you for a PTQ at Nationals, I think, because I like did really poorly and was like, I'm going to go play PTQ, and not knowing how to play the deck properly and having multiple opponents count out the like affinity math faster than me. Yeah,
that's right.
Be like, no, I'm dead. And I was like, oh, cool. Thanks.
And you're like, oh, this deck is crazy.
I think I started off like 3 or 4-0. I was like, wow, this deck's great.
Yeah, I think we played on Moto for a bit the night before, so you could learn some of the things.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
yeah, I ended up playing Urza's something, whatever, the Urza deck. I ended up playing that because that was much more interesting to me in Modern.
Those decks were really cool. All of the Urza decks were really cool, I think. Yeah, I remember playing with your, I think it's Antiquities Ornithopters.
Oh, and then somebody, like, that's not a real card or something.
Someone was like, what are these? These look terrible. Someone disparaged your Ornithopters.
It's like, that's like the OG Ornithopters.
I think they look really nice.
Yeah, that's why like I remember looking around having to source them. I was like, I must have those because they weren't too expensive and they do look quite good.
Yeah. You're kind of into old cards a little bit, right?
I like the originals of things.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate for things like Land of War Elves and that kind of stuff. But
yes.
But generally speaking, I guess for like Arcbound Ravager, I want the Darksteel ones, and they're like, oh, but there's these new ones. I'm like, no, I'd rather have the Darksteel ones because it's, I'm like tooth and nail, like the old art and like all those kind of things.
Yeah. Fair enough. In terms of, so we talked about sort of your experience playing faction events. In terms of non-faction events, so sort of WotC events, GPs, RPTQs, that sort of stuff. Have you, what's been your experience playing them?
In RPTQs, it was more, there was one season where I did really well and I made quite a few top eights, but then I would always choke for whatever reason in the top eights. And I think I'd gotten into my head about where I was, and I would just make poor mulligan decisions. I think my playing was fine, but it was in the mulligan decisions where I would doubt myself on things and either keep a dodgy hand because I was, you know, just the thing of getting scared of throwing it back. And this was, don't remember what the mulligan rules were then, but they definitely weren't the current ones. It may have been, you know, 7-6-5. I don't remember, but it was, but yeah, it was, I think that was my main weakness there. I don't know if you even asked me that, but that's the main thing I remember, is doing quite well in the RPTQs, but then never taking one out because I would always just choke at the end. Or no, there was one where I played Hoodie and I lost the Hoodie. It was in a sealed.
Yeah.
At the finals.
I think that was probably PPTQs, not RPTQs. They were like the ones all around Melbourne, right? And Victoria.
Oh, you're right. So I've never actually been to an RPTQ. So the PPTQs, yeah, I've never been to an RPTQ. So all of that before was about the PPTQ things.
Yeah, but still, yeah, I do remember you having a lot of top eights and just not quite managing to convert any of them.
Yeah, and so I guess like everything I said is still valid, just swap in for PPTQ.
Yeah. And you've played a couple GPs, right? I think I know I've played a couple with you, and I don't know if there were more before that.
I don't know how many I've played, because like I played a few, well, I guess 20 years ago.
Yeah, right.
And then like Mirrodin, like original Mirrodin time and around that era. And then a few since cons that have been here. I think the one I did the best in is the one that you cashed in.
I think it was Melbourne. That was like one of the Ravnica sets. It was in Melbourne.
It was the one that had Is It in it.
Yeah.
Or whatever, not Is It. Whatever that card is. But yeah.
It had Is It. As in like it had the Is It Guild.
Yeah, but the dragon.
Niv-Mizzet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that one.
Yeah, that dragon was... Yeah, the semi-unbeatable dragon, yeah.
Yeah, like blue, 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 red, 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 I think.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that was probably my best finish at a GP.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that was the first day too.
Sure. Have you been playing? You mentioned you were playing about 20 years ago. Have you played constantly through then, or were there breaks?
No, I was one of the people that sold out when things were worth nothing.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
It was just before Modern, whenever I would have stopped, I think. Or at least that's, maybe I stopped a little bit before then, but sold out just before Modern, because I remember selling a lot of things, and like stuff like a Blood Moon was a bulk rare and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't remember. I think it may have been sometime in Ravnica whenever I started slowing down. And that was because a lot of friends started playing Versus around then. And so then I was playing Magic by myself because most of the people I was playing, they left for a different game. And then...
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of a thing. And so I was... didn't want to just keep spending money to play with people I didn't know.
Yep, makes sense. Magic is much worse a game without a community around it, I think.
Yeah. And then I think around 2010, I came back.
Right.
2010, 2011. It was kind of got out of a long relationship and I moved in with a friend who kind of, we used to play Magic in the early 2000s and then we both stopped and then we both started again. And then I played for a few years and then kind of been playing since then. You know, I was taking maybe a block off and then come back or something like that. But
yeah,
like ever since Cons, it's been pretty solid.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, I think Cons is when I came back.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's about when I met you, was somewhere around Cons.
You would have met me probably about 6 years ago. I think, because it would have been, that's how long I've been in Melbourne for, because I was in Sydney.
Oh, sure.
I'm part of like the old Sydney crew, I guess, of Magic people. So I don't know a lot of the old Melbourne people because I wasn't here. Like I know a couple, but that's because people traveled. But I think, because I met you and Dogen and Alex.
Yep.
Around the same time, because that was when Alex was at the Box Hill store. It was just people that went to the Box Hill store. And I did meet quite a few of the other people, or some of the other people from playing Monday, I think it was Monday Night Modern.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, fair enough. So this tournament, we're playing Crimson Veil Draft and Highlander. I would say you're probably, historically at least, more of a Constructor player than Limited?
Probably. Sealed is my favorite.
Sure.
And especially sealed very early in the format. Not pre-release level, like higher stakes or higher whatever than that, but...
Yeah.
But definitely very early when everybody's trying to figure it out. That's really fun for me. I don't know. Like, that's a hard question to answer because I have played in my life, I've played a lot more draft then constructed. But whenever I find a constructed deck that I love, I'll play a lot of it. So it's one of those kind of, like, draft is almost always fun unless it's, what was, like, Amonkhet draft was...
Amonkhet was the one with all the one drops. Like, everyone had one drops. And you couldn't block.
It was like triple Amonkhet was okay, but then one of each was bad or whatever. Or something...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but there's times where it's just not super fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think I've probably played... I don't know, it's just whenever I find a deck I love, I'll play it a lot.
Yeah, fair enough. So have you done much drafting of Crimson Veil?
Let's see. Maybe 10 drafts?
Okay, so a little bit, yeah.
So not... I think it's enough to be bad at it. That's how I guess because Dogen and I have been drafting together, like on Discord and that sort of a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think when I was telling him, like, I'm getting to the stage where it's when I first start drafting, so just using old tried and true type, just removal and evasion, you know, just the normal things, and then I'm okay, and I have some decent results and kind of do that, and then I get bad once I start figuring things out. Then I get quite a kind of, then my results suffer because I start trying, getting more comfortable and trying things that don't work and trying to figure it out. And then I guess then you get past that and you get better at it. So I think I'm in the bad stage now.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense to me. Yeah, that progression.
Yeah. Because I definitely was better before, like when I first started, like in the first few drafts.
Well, still time then for you to like come out the other side.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like it's very. If I draft something that feels safe in the current, like with something I've done a few times, just like a red white aggro deck or something like that. But then like, oh, let's try to do blue green or some kind of I guess blue black thing, which I haven't done a lot of. Then that's where I'll start to suffer because I'll start trying these things to learn.
I do think that's important for draft though, because otherwise it's very easy to just like find two or three decks that you like and you're confident drafting, and then you just draft them again and again, and you get like 30 drafts in and realize, oh, I've never actually played green red in this format or whatever.
Yeah, and people are like, why did you pass that card? It's like, is that any good? Like, that's like the best card in the set. Like, I've never played it before.
Yeah, exactly. You get like so good at evaluating all the cards that you play with that you just like don't actually know about the cards you haven't played with, so you just pass them because you're like, oh, I don't know if that's good or not. You almost have to actively say, oh, I'm going to try new things.
That's right.
On the flip side, Highlander. I don't think you've played a ton of Highlander.
I have not. I really like it.
Yeah.
Especially more than... what's the one that's 100 cards that's the same?
Commander.
No, but not Commander. There's no Commander. There's like
Canadian Highlander.
Okay. That's the one I was like, no, 100 cards is too many.
Yeah, Canadian Highlander is like 100 card singleton, no sideboards.
Yeah.
Slightly different points list as well.
I like the, it's just the money. Like it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, like we were saying, I like old cards, and I remember looking at things at the last, what was it, at the Invitational, and going, because I had a lot of fun playing the artifact deck. And I was like, I want to build this, because I'll probably play this again and again.
Yeah.
And then what was it, workshop? And I'm like, oh, $4,000 or like $4,500 for that.
Yeah.
And then people are like, when did that happen? And it's like, because cards just exploded in the, you know, the previous year. Because,
yeah.
I don't know, whatever, like Logan Paul or somebody decided they wanted to buy Magic cards or, you know, just whatever. Just stupid things like that.
Yeah, Reserve List does dumb things to cards, basically.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like, well, I don't know if I would have as much fun if I didn't have a few of those key cards. And
yeah, that's fair.
So it's kind of that, and then really it is almost all of it's the this COVID in the past 2 years. Like I haven't played. I think it was a year ago at the Invitational. That's the last time I've played Paper Magic.
Yep, that's fair.
And I'm not. I know those are still events now, but I'm not in a rush.
No, that's very fair. Not being in a rush. I think actually even a lot of those weekly events now have stopped happening over the last couple of weeks as well. With
well, that's fair with what's going on right now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's totally fair.
Yeah, so like I like the idea of Highlander a lot. I like being able to play with all the cards.
Yeah.
I may need to find something that I can play a giant spider in just because that was one of my favorite cards back in 96, I think.
Yeah.
One of our first started playing, it's like, oh, this giant's like 4 toughness. It's so big, it's going to block a flyer. It's like, sure, come at me. And then, yeah, it was good. But yeah, it's those things and being able to play all those things. And then it's a, like you build your deck. It's more so than modern even. Like you build your deck and that's your deck that you play.
Yeah, yeah.
And you only need one. So it's like,
yep.
Yeah, you need a dual land, but you just need one of that dual land. Or you just need, I need a workshop, but I only need one workshop. So it's that kind of a thing. So I do very much like it, but it's, I don't know, I keep getting distracted by other things, I guess.
Yeah, that's, I do think only needing one is so nice from a collection standpoint. I know I have a bunch of like alternate art and foreign cards and stuff that I wouldn't even bother getting if I was thinking, oh, I have to find 4 of these, but when I only need one, it's like,
yeah.
It's easier, more palatable.
For sure.
I do think you would quite enjoy Highlander, especially Highlander is interesting because there's sort of 2 ways to play it. And I think the really hyper competitive decks they can be a little bit more boring. They're sort of built around a lot of the same cards, especially the blue decks. But I know I've played a lot with, especially Mike Swan, but some other people just playing casual games online or casual games at weekly events where you can play whatever and not everyone's just playing, you know, the latest tournament wing decklist or whatever, and you can do lots of fun things. Like, I know Mike has raved about, he built a control deck with the stipulation that every card had to be old boarded.
Right.
So he was playing things like Future Sight, and he had a ton of fun with that stipulation, which your mention of Giant Spider made me think of that.
Oh, right.
The idea of, yeah, playing the cards you like, basically.
Yeah. I think Tooth and Nail was probably... I've talked to you about it before many times. I know that Tooth and Nail is definitely my favorite card ever. But
yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah. And then I've heard people talking about the online community is pretty good on Magic Online. So that's something you should probably look into.
Yeah, it's around a bit. I'm not totally sure how much it'll... I was going to say survive post-COVID, but you know what I mean. Like, survive sort of opening up more. Like, once weekly events happen more, I don't know whether it'll suffer. But there's certainly people around now, and there's quite a lot of people in the faction now who play as well and will happily play games.
Yeah, and it's a cheap way to get some games in, I guess, for... I don't know if I want to say the foreseeable future, but it's what it's looking like at this stage.
Yeah, it is the indeterminate length future at this point.
Question mark, asterisk, all the things.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep telling myself, oh, it won't be that much longer. It's like, I've gotten to the point where I just don't believe any estimate of, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
So, with that out of the way, so you've played about 10 drafts of Crimson Vow. So, enough to get bad, as you said.
Yeah, that's right.
And haven't played a ton of Highlander, but definitely interested in it. What do you think your chances are of taking down the event?
I think it's very low. I think I'd have to get very lucky in the draft. Because I'll be playing against people that have drafted a lot more. Maybe if I get put in a bad or good, air quotes, pod. I don't know. If I can get lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a... Well, everybody has, or the not everybody, but the, like, everybody has a chance because Magic is a game of...
Yeah.
There is a luck component. I mean, otherwise, I think so many... I've heard people talk about it before that if there wasn't the luck component, then there wouldn't be the amount of people playing, because it would just be something where, like, no, you can never beat that pro because...
Yes.
But that there's a luck, like, no, you actually have a chance. And it does. And you, like, you beat...
Yeah, for sure.
Was it Justin?
I beat Justin Chung in a GP once. And I lost to Zen Takahashi and Kelvin Chu. But I did beat Justin Chung.
No, you did. And I remember I beat... Was it Anthony Lee?
Yep.
The team... Oh, that was actually really good. The team GP... That was a really good GP. But yeah, as in, because there is that luck component, anything's possible really, but I would not put me in the top.
Yeah. I think everyone has a chance. And also everyone, like, even though you haven't played a huge amount of draft, you're like a competent Magic player who will put together a, like, reasonable sort of coherent draft deck and will probably play a coherent Highlander deck and have some idea of how your deck works. So that gives you a chance.
Yeah, I learned that one time. It's like, at least know if I'm going to play a combo and learn what the combo is first.
I do remember you playing Flash Hulk and casting Flash and putting the Hulk in and sort of expecting, I think it was Nathan, to concede. And he sort of went, well, do you know how your combo works?
And I think he was helping me.
Yeah.
And he smashed me. Like, it wasn't even close.
Yeah. All right, so if you're not going to win, then who do you think will?
I've been thinking about this, and I think Kynan is a pretty good chance.
Yep, definitely a quality Magic player, and I think we'll have done his homework.
But I don't know how I can go past Trent, though, as in as far as...
Yeah.
The man, he breathes it more than anybody I know, I think.
Yes, I would agree.
Because people are like, what other games do you play? It's like Magic. It's like, oh, constructed sometimes. Isn't it's the that kind of a thing? And and other people are like, oh, yeah, I'm playing, you know, Diablo 2 or whatever. But he's like, oh, yeah, I'll play Draft Sealed. you know, that kind of a thing. So it's as far as the favorite to win for that kind of, to use those words, I would say probably Trent.
Yep, sure. Is there anyone who's maybe a little bit under the radar or you think is a bit of a dark horse to win?
Man, if Chiss won, that would be awesome.
Someone else has said that, actually. Someone else had Chiss beating Trent in the final.
No, I could see somebody like Swanee.
Yeah.
Because he's very... I don't know how to compare it, but it's the... like the competitive casual type person.
Yes, yes.
Josh from the Box Hill, that kind of a person.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's not the same level, but it's something where he won't play the super competitive things, but he will sometimes. But he knows what all the cards do, and he knows how they fit together, and he can see all of those kind of things. So I put, as far as the dark horse, I'd probably say Swanee.
Fair enough. Well, thank you for coming on and having a chat. Always good to catch up with you and always good to have a new voice on the podcast.
That's good. Thanks for having me.
That's all right. Absolutely. Best of luck with the tournament. We will be back soon with another interview. I think there should be quite a lot of them coming out over the last week and a half before the event. So go give those a listen as well, and we'll be back then.
See ya.
Bye, Kyle.